As much as we try to teach our little ones about the Easter story, many are diverted to the egg hunts and the baskets, like I was when I was a kid, the fun and the celebration of Easter, and certainly that's where our Easter story ends. A great and glorious celebration, but it's far from where it begins. As one pastor puts it, Easter doesn't start with a party, it starts in a graveyard. If you've ever felt the sting of death, the crushing hurt and immense pain that it brings, then I'm sure you know that the women on the way to the tomb were feeling. They had given up everything. They left their families. The other disciples left their careers, all in the hope that Jesus was the one who would save the world. Yet they witnessed Jesus being brutally murdered on a Roman cross just a few days earlier, and now these women were the ones to prepare his body for burial. For them, when they arrived, hope was dead. And to make matters worse, they discovered Jesus' body is missing. Yet to their astonishment, angels tell them Christ has been raised from the dead. And the story continues to unfold. The women quickly tell the others that Jesus is alive of what they've seen. It seems impossible, and the apostles roll their eyes in disbelief when the women tell them this. Luke 24:11 says, "These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." Peter runs to the tomb and finds it empty, but Jesus is not in sight. And then later, two disciples are on their way to Emmaus. A stranger joins them. It's Jesus, but they don't know it. And they tell him how they'd been crushed by Jesus' death. It says in the 21st verse, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." And it's in those four words, "but we had hoped," where the heart of the Easter story begins. This phrase, the disciples tell Jesus, "but we had hoped," is an all too familiar refrain for most of us. We've learned to say it when our hopes and our dreams are crushed. "But we had hoped" is what a couple says when they finally give up trying to have children. It's what someone says when their loved one dies. "But we had hoped" is what people say when the church or a pastor hurts them, or when a marriage ends in bitterness and cruelty, or when the doctor tells you it's cancer. These four words, "but we had hoped," they're around when we experience failure and pain and loss. It's a student longing for the college acceptance letter to come in the mail, waiting with anticipation and hope for what the future will hold, only to discover that she's been rejected. Or it's someone who's worked so long and hard to get the career of their dreams, only to discover that it's not what they had thought. Every day seems longer than the last, and a mid-career change looks inevitable. It's someone who's working on trying to get ahead in their finances, only for it to fall apart when the car breaks down, and then the furnace, and then the next emergency. The debts keep piling up, and the stress feels heavier than you can bear. But we had hoped, they say. Or it's someone who has just a few years left until retirement, only to discover that the company has other plans and forces you into early retirement. Or it's after an accident with a power saw, and the moment it happens, you know the 10 things you should have done differently, and you're in the ER. And the doctor tells you that crushing news that it cannot be fixed. We know exactly what Jesus' disciples are feeling when they say, "but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." You can hear and feel their disappointment. You and I can understand what it means when hope is crushed. Pastor Fred Craddock tells a story about a family driving along on a country road, and the children, they spot this kitten in the tall weeds by the side of the road, and the kitten looks quite sick. "Stop!" they all yell. They want to take the cat home. The father protests, we have a zoo at home already. There's no room for another animal. But the children's begging finally gets him. And so he reverses the car right there in the middle of the road and gets out to pick up the kitten. It's emaciated. Its ribs are showing. You can tell that it hasn't eaten in ages. The fur's matted and there are wounds on the kitty. And he reaches out to pick up the kitten, and it takes a swipe at him. And now he has scratch marks on his hands, and the cat hisses and growls. Father's frustrated and wants to walk away, yet when he looks at his children's pleading eyes, he decides to pick up the cat by the scruff of the neck and wraps it in his jacket so it can't scratch him anymore. When they arrive home, the father insists on making a place for the cat in the parents' room so the rest of the zoo won't bother it. It doesn't take long before the cat becomes strong and beautiful. And one day, the father looks around to see if anyone's looking. And he gently puts his hand down in front of the cat. And this time, instead of being scratched by the claws of the cat, the cat just nuzzles up against his hand and purrs. Craddock, Reverend Craddock, imagines that when God reaches out to each one of us, we see God's hands are covered with scars and scratch marks. For Jesus knows what it's like to lose hope, to experience pain, to lose and failure, to bear the weight of the world. Yes, Jesus knows what it feels like to be scarred. He knows what those disciples meant when they said, "But we had hoped." And even though we know where the Easter story begins, in a graveyard, on the road to Emmaus with the words, "But we had hoped," it's not where the Easter story ends. The two disciples continue on their journey to Emmaus with this stranger, and they invite him to stay. And he breaks bread with them, and instantly their eyes are opened. And for the first time, they see that Jesus is alive. In their presence, Jesus is not dead, he is alive. And instantly, he vanishes, and all that hope that was once crushed and dead is now alive. So when we experience the world's failures, the pain, the loss, the college rejection letter, the mid-career change, the cancer, the bankruptcy, being forced into retirement, the divorce, the accident, these moments are the moments where we're hurt, where hope is crushed, when hope is lost and even seems dead. Just like the women in the graveyard and the two men on the road to Emmaus, we must remember that we worship a God who is covered with scars and scratch marks. We worship a God who doesn't give up on us. Even when all hope is lost, God loves us. Even in our greatest failures and the ugliest times of our lives, God nurtures us to transformation. The Easter story certainly starts in the graveyard, but it doesn't stay there. Hope is not dead because Christ is loose in the world. And if God raises Jesus from the dead, then God can raise our lost hope from the dead too. A pastor colleague was telling me about a father who was on his deathbed, and he was old, and all of his adult children flew in far from across the country. He was on hospice, and he would soon die. But yet he kept lingering. And as the week progressed, the adult children asked the pastor if they could start planning the funeral, which seemed certainly inevitable. Each of them had stayed the week and had returning flights in the next 2 days, so they planned to have his funeral the next day. Yet, against all the odds, the father made a last-minute recovery. Remarkably, they told their father about the funeral that they had planned, and to their surprise, he asked the pastor if they could still have it. Elderly man was seated in the front row at his own funeral. His entire family, his friends and loved ones were there. Yet today, it wasn't centered around death, but instead a celebrated life in Christ. It was a witness to the hope in Christ's resurrection. When all hope was lost, he made this remarkable recovery. And today, they celebrated this man's life in Christ. Never before have I ever heard someone speaking at their own funeral, but this man did that day. Now, he died a few days later. Hope was thought to be dead, but not that day. Hope was alive. Jesus was loose in the world. Now, we know that Easter doesn't start with a party. It starts in the graveyard, filled with a refrain, but we had hoped. The words that come off of our lips, too, at times. But the good news is, Easter is a celebration that never ends. Christ is alive today and tomorrow and every day of our lives. There are always going to be times when hope is crushed or dead, yet as resurrected people, that's not the end of our story. God reaches out his hands that are scratched and scarred to each one of us, and the hope that was once dead is now alive in Jesus Christ. Christ is loose in our world. Christ is risen. Hope is alive. Hallelujah and amen.